Hello, hello. Welcome again to another Hot Sheet podcast. Everybody is back in their respective homes. Jeff is back from the Futures game in Massachusetts. I never left my home in North Carolina. And we're going to discuss a little bit about the Hot Sheet, but a lot about the Futures game. So let's just start off with that, Jeff. It was your first Futures game. How was your experience?
It was great. You know, number one, it was really helpful to have Kyle Glazer there, who, you know, is a Los Angeles native or area native, Southern California native. So Kyle was able to, he's not a Los Angeles native, but Southern California. So he was able to kind of show us around, knew the ins and outs. He had the local, you know, insight and tips in terms of how to avoid traffic or the right ways to get places. So just seeing the kind of traffic and things that are in Los Angeles, that was really helpful. So big shout to Kyle. But what was even better was having him there at Dodger Stadium. And, you know, he knows the park, being able to go in, kind of get some insight into a few different things. It's a beautiful ballpark. You know, it's sacrilegious to say as a Massachusetts native, but, you know, maybe it's a little bit of the case of the grass is always greener, but I actually think Dodger Stadium might be my favorite baseball park, or at least major league park that I've ever been inside. It's really, really just clean and beautiful. The sort of, as Kyle put it, the Mad Men early 1960s aesthetic, I think personally is kind of cool. And, you know, we were able to get down onto the field for the high school home run derby. So I got to see some of those, as you would call them, Josh Minx, some of the top kids in the 2023 prep class. You know, got to see Max Clark, Braden Holcomb, Aiden Miller, as well as several others. So that was kind of cool, just as a sort of a bonus add-on to the whole Futures game experience. And then went up to the press box and, you know, got to sit alongside JJ. And JJ and I just worked actually with Jonathan Mayo too, tracking, you know, home runs in the BP rounds of the two, you know, Futures game squads, and actually tracking like where the home runs went, etc. So that was a lot of fun, you know, just to be seeing some of these guys just let loose. Some of the BP rounds that stood out, I know I wrote about this a little bit in my superlatives article, but Francisco Alvarez really just showed all fields power. You know, the ball just jumps off his bat. And, you know, it's the kind of thing that it wasn't even like he was trying to necessarily sell out for home runs. He's just got that level of power. He had some really great rounds. Matt Wallner was sort of an honorable mention. He had some good rounds as well. Mammoth power from that guy. Joey Weimer hit a couple of really long home runs in addition to sort of just a line drive, sort of all field couple of rounds. But the award goes to Joe and Kenzie Noel, truly, for probably the best BP rounds. He put on an absolute show. He hit a dozen homers, I think, across three or four rounds. And some of them, I think I took a shot, a screenshot of it and sort of marked where he sent the ball, but he hit a ball into the concourse out in left field, you know, above all of the seats and, you know, Dodger Stadium, there's a lot of seats. So that is to get it over the bleachers and into the concourse. That's a serious tank job. But Noel was really engaging. We had him at the prospect pad as well. I didn't interview him. Savannah did, but I chatted with him a little ahead of time. I actually pulled up the footage of the home run, one of the home runs that he hit for me when I was in, not just personally for being, but it feels like it's personally for me, in Lake County, where he had that like diabolical bat flip where like he throws it in the air, and I actually kept like the final like 4 seconds of the video on in the clip. Because the bat never hits the ground. Like it was unbelievable. So I showed that to him. He and Yainer Diaz of the Astros, who were, you know, at one point teammates in the Guardians system, they had a really good laugh over it. Joe and Kenzie speaks some pretty good English as well. He's a really fun guy, you know, really big personality, you know, big guy, big home runs. He was a lot of fun. And I think that's what the prospect pad did, and some good and some maybe some bad ways as well, is like kind of gives you some insight into what these guys' personalities are like. And that can also be bad, because then you kind of really like, you know, some guys like Andrew Abbott and his family were just like really tremendous, really funny, told funny stories. They hung around for a little bit. they were great. You know, the whole Leiter clan came with Anthony Volpe as well, and they were all hanging out, went out to dinner and stuff, got to chat with Al Leiter. CC Sabathia actually came by the prospect pad, didn't interview or anything, but he was there, and I chatted with CC for a few minutes, and that was pretty cool. Mostly about soccer, Action Bronson, and working out. Nothing really about baseball, but overall, I mean, it was really a tremendous experience. I mean, we can get more into the actual futures game, but I figured I would touch on all the pomp and circumstance, so to speak, around it, and then we can kind of get into the meat here.
For sure. I mean, it sounds like you were a kid in the candy store, and that sugar high may still be coursing through your veins, there, buddy. I'm glad to hear you really enjoyed it. I had not heard that Sabathia showed up, which you figure would have made the rounds on Slack or something, but especially because one of my colleagues, Teddy Cahill, you know, loves CC Sabathia, loves CC Sabathia. That's one of his Mount Rushmore pitchers or players or anything. So I'm surprised we didn't hear that. That's interesting. Like former Cleveland guys showing up to the prospect pad randomly. I think he was in San Diego where Jim Thome just showed up.
He was in the celebrity softball game.
Well, I mean, sure, but like you don't have to wander into the
well, I prospect. Think the way the hotel was set up is I think all like the MLB like associations and et cetera and benefit groups, we'll say, were all set up and located on the same row with us. So it was sort of like guys are wandering around, and I think you know, he had some relationship with a few players that might have come through as well. So
you didn't like bounce him at the door, like, who are you? You're not on the list.
No, man, CC is about 7 inches taller than I am, and you know, he's lost a lot of weight and is in incredible shape. He looks like he's ready to fight MMA. So no, man, I'm not stepping to Sabathia. I actually met Eric Davis as well, who's one of my all-time favorite players. So I got to chat with him, and that was awesome. I was like, you know, I actually told him, like, you're one of my goats, man. Like, I saw him, and I was like, is that Eric Davis? And JJ's like, I don't know. And then I asked somebody else, and they're like, yeah, that's Eric Davis. And I was like, that's awesome. He's like one of the coaches for.
Yes, he was. He was one of the futures game coaches, if I remember correctly. I remember I've seen Eric Davis before where I was watching Hunter Green pitch against the Royals in Instructs back in the day. And Hunter Green was ramped up against the Royals like it was game 7 of the World Series. It was crazy. But I looked to my left at one point, and there's Barry Larkin and Eric Davis. And Eric Davis is into it. Some dude, the rule on the grounds rules at the backfield we were at is, even though the batter's eye is like, I don't know, 60 feet, 70 feet, 80 feet tall, it's ridiculous. Any part of it is still in play. Oh, and wow. I guess the umps didn't know the rules or got it wrong or whatever. And I hit it off the batter's eye, and he trots around, and Eric Davis is just screaming, "That's in play. You got to hit it out. That's in play." Losing his mind on an Instructs game. Like,
you see, I love that.
There's a desire to win. Like, all right. That. And then, you know, once Green comes out of the game, he's chatting with Larkin and Davis, and it's pretty cool to just look to my left and see that while whatever else is going on is going on. But anyway, so, okay, we talked about the pomp and circumstance. What about the actual game? I mean, I know you got a list of guys you want to see coming in. Who impressed you?
Yeah, you know, I thought it was funny. Shea Langeliers had a really good game on both sides of the ball. He threw out a runner. You know, the catching defense back there is very good. And he hit, you know, he hit a homer. It was kind of funny because I know that, you know, he's a guy that we've been kind of like lukewarm on recently because he's struggled a little bit, and it's the PCL, and you're kind of like, you know, I know the numbers are good, but how does this all break down? I think that's a starting catcher, man. I mean, I think just seeing it, the body, got to chat with him a little bit. We didn't do an interview, but we chatted. He's also incredibly recognizable because there's only one guy that kind of looks like that, you know, looks like somebody that would hang out with me. He's got like a beard, and he looks like he maybe eats McDonald's, you know? So, but he's good, man. I think he's a good catcher. So I was impressed by him. Miguel Vargas has more power than I thought. He was a pretty exciting player. Zach Veen just does a lot of little things really, really well. He's really athletic. I like the way that he moves. Gunnar Henderson, man, when you physically see Gunnar Henderson and just like, he's built
He puts the guns in Gunnar. I mean, you know?
Yeah. I mean, but he's just like, he's got like broad shoulders, but it's like that, you know what I mean? By it's like a linebacker in football. You put on the outside that runs like a 4.3 40, you know,
like Clay Matthews or something.
Yeah, like exactly. Like he's just a physical freak. But he's a really interesting kid, really engaging. Talk with him a little bit too. So he's impressive. You know, in terms of the pitching, Bobby Miller looked really good. He pitched really well. Emerson Hancock really executed really well. It wasn't the best stuff of the day, but he executed well. Mike Burrows executed well, and he had maybe the best stuff. He was sitting 95, high ride, high spin fastball. He was getting whiffs up in the zone. He got 3 whiffs on the fastball, 2 on his curveball. His curveball was a hammer, 2,900 plus RPMs. I think he got it to 2,941. That's a really good 1-2 punch. You know, I don't know. There's still questions about him as a starter, but he's, you know, really good looking 2-pitch mix there in terms of like that weaponry. You can go at anybody with those pitches. He could get big league hitters out on a consistent basis with those 2 pitches. So he was really impressive. Yuri, of course, was very impressive. That fastball looks great. Trying to think about some other hitting performances. You know, Wallner hit a ball 116. He's got huge power. He's got a massive arm as well. And
when you're building a dream team, great scouts can help you find the future MVPs first. To hire great talent faster, you need Indeed. Indeed is the hiring platform where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's a powerful hiring partner that can help you do it all. Find great talent faster through time-saving tools like Indeed Instant Match, assessments, and virtual interviews. With Instant Match, over 80% of employers get quality candidates whose resume on Indeed matches their job description the moment they sponsor a job, according to Indeed data in the U.S. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy because no other job site takes care of you like Indeed does. With Indeed, you only pay for an applicant who meets your must-have requirements. You know what you're looking for in an applicant. Once you tell Indeed, Indeed will find you applicants with those skill sets. Indeed puts you in control of what you pay. You set your must-have job requirements and only pay for the applications that meet them. There's a transparent flat fee per application, and you can pause your job posting whenever you want. When you sponsor an Indeed post, you are 4.5 times more likely to get a hire, according to Indeed data worldwide. Even better, Indeed's the only job site where you pay only for applicants that meet your must-have requirements. Indeed is an unbelievably powerful hiring partner, delivering 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest in 2019. Join the more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Indeed's doing something no other job site has done. Now with Indeed, businesses only pay for quality applications matching the sponsored job description. Visit Indeed.com/BaseballAmerica to start hiring now. Just go to Indeed.com/BaseballAmerica. Indeed.com/BaseballAmerica. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And I'll save the best for last. So tie this into some of the pomp and circumstance as well. But I had an opportunity at the end of the day. Their flights got delayed. We were breaking down. And right before we closed up the prospect pad, we were fortunate enough to have Jordan Walker and Mason Wynn come by. Really just tremendous kids, tremendous friends. I had the idea because I saw, you kind of see their chemistry, like they see each other. You know, Walker was doing a shoot, Wynn had already done it and come in, and they see each other. And you could just see the chemistry between the two of them and the friendship. And I looked over at JJ and I said, hey, what if we just knock it out, the two of them together, and, you know, go from there? And he was like, let's do it. And we sat down, and it was the most fun interview that I did all day long. And it was just, you know, great to talk about the two of them. We had video from the two of them as preps, and we got to pull that up. And at the end, you know, I had wanted to ask Mason Winn about the record that had been set for the hardest infield velocity in the major leagues by O'Neill Cruz previous in the week. And it was one of the last questions I asked, and I asked him flat out, and like Jordan Walker, like immediate was like, man, we already talked about this. And he was like, yeah, you know, I brought it up to him. I was kind of, you know, razzing him, say, you got to go out there and do it. And Mason then, the clips on Twitter, flat out said, like, if I get an opportunity to air one out, might as well hit 100. And he went out and he hit 100.5 on his first throw in the infield. And the craziest thing is we saw him air it out. It was a great throw. I said, JJ, can you pull that up, you know, on StatCast? And I thought he said 105 at first. And I was like, that's not accurate.
That's Ben Joyce at shortstop.
Yeah, I was like, that's not accurate. And then, you know, it was 100.5. And I'm like, and then he checked it. It was confirmed that that was legitimate. And that's wild that he called his own shot. And I'm just a big Mason Winn fan. I like the kid. I really think that he's a very cerebral player. You know, I think he thinks about the game, and in his answers to some of the more specific questions, like who's the hardest, you know, hitter you pitcher you faced, and some of the things that he notices at the plate in terms of picking up spin and his ability to really identify pitches and only swing at strikes, I think is so impressive. And talking that through that with him, it was clear that that's something that, you know, he just innately has the ability. He's a really talented kid. And I think the friendship between him and Jordan Walker is going to be a lot of fun if, you know, in a few years, that's the left side of the Cardinals infield. They have a couple of stars there.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, Matt, Eddie and I were talking about this yesterday. It's one thing for Babe Ruth to call his shot allegedly, because Babe Ruth knows he's going to get an at bat. You know, if you're Mason Winn and you're calling your shot in the futures game, okay, well, you've got to do it, but you've also got to get the ground ball. That's got to happen. It's got to happen when you are playing, because it's a futures game and you're not going to play the entire game, which is only 7 innings now for reasons. So it's got to happen while you're out there. You've got to field it cleanly. And then you've got to do the hard part, which is throwing it 100 miles an hour across diamond. Like, I'm just trying to think about, you know, we're not even talking about this like in awe or anything. It's just, oh yeah, Mason Winn threw a baseball 100 miles an hour across the diamond. That's where we are in the game with these athletes, these players who can do things that 40, 50 years ago would have been thought of, you know, you would have been burned at the stake for this witchcraft that they're performing on diamonds every night. It's to have the record in the big league set like 3 days earlier, and then for him to come out and not just break it, but break it by like 2 miles an hour and change, is absolutely nutso. Like, I remember a couple years, 4 or 5, 10 years ago, whatever it was, when Billy Hamilton was coming up, and this is the fastest man alive. And now it's like, it seems like there are plenty of guys faster or as fast as Billy Hamilton. Like, the skill and athleticism we can see in baseball on a nightly basis, even by guys who won't make it or won't be big stars, is insane. Like, you could go to the minor leagues anytime and see a curveball from whoever that would have, you know, spun Ted Williams into the ground, and or a fastball that would have, you know, made him scream bloody murder or something like that. You know, the baseball players these days are bananas good. I remember, I think during the pandemic, whatever, there was a wave of releases of guys who throw 100 miles an hour. Think about releasing a guy who throws 100 miles an hour. Like, that wouldn't happen a couple decades ago. And now it's commonplace. Okay, so we're about 10 minutes to go on this here Zoom meeting. Let's touch on the hot sheet a little bit. Sure. You know, it's a little bit depressed one, because there's all the really good players have been in the futures game. But let's talk for a second about DL Hall. The D stands for dominant for that young man. He struck out half of the hitters he's faced this month, 40 of 80. I don't know if you've seen him ever, but you're the pitcher whisperer. What do you think of the Orioles left-hander, who's probably on the cusp of the big leagues?
Yeah, I mean, I've said this now for a couple of years, and I think I said in the off season in my best pitches article that I wrote up when we released our initial top 100, and I think it's one of the best left-handed arsenals in all of baseball at any level. You're talking about four potential above average to plus to double plus pitches. I think the command is better than it's been given credit for. And I think he's a guy that is unique in the sense that when he was in the lower minors, I think that there were times that he was throwing good pitches that were being called balls because guys were scared to swing at his stuff. He had the lowest swing rate of any pitcher, I think 2 years running, coming out of the draft. So that kind of puts things into perspective. I think as he's moved up in the upper minors and gets to the majors, some of those things, you know, he's going to face better hitters. Guys can get the bat and stuff like that, or at least will attempt to swing at it. So I think it's just a couple of tweaks from him being, you know, potentially a dominant starter. So, you know, I still buy into DL Hall. I understand that it is a very dangerous game to do this with guys with huge stuff who haven't had pristine execution, especially getting up to the major leagues. It could be rough, you know, maybe for the first half a year even, that he's a major league pitcher. But I do think it's going to click, and this is a guy that could be an ace. You know, when we talk about guys that can be aces, sometimes, you know, it's almost like the if I knew about horses and how you break them and train them, I might be able to give you an example of some sort of a cliche similarity. But yeah, I mean, I think Hall is nasty as they come. And there's a few guys like that are on this list this week as well. If I can take the reins for a second, Ben Brown's another one that really excites me. He had a tremendous game Sunday, goes 7 innings, strikes out 13, only allows 2 base runners on 2 hits. That's 13 Ks, 0 walks. It's a guy that was a late round prep pick back in 2017, I believe. So it's been sort of a long road for him, but he's still only 22, sits mid 90s, gets it up to upper 90s with a fastball, with a ton of hop. He's got 2 really hard breaking balls, like a cutter slider type hybrid that's in the upper 80s that touches the low 90s, and then a mid 80s curveball that's just an absolute hammer pitch for him. So he's another guy that was on this list that I love. Like I'm really excited to catch Ben Brown sometime in the summer.
Yeah, he's really good. And I'll just circle back to Hall for a second. Like I'm you know, putting my hands together and hoping against hope, because Norfolk is in Durham this weekend, and a Taj Bradley DL Hall matchup in one of those 3 days, it's shortened 3 day series because of the way the schedule works. We're on a minor league all-star break right now, would be exquisite. Not to mention the fact that you're going to have Jonathan Aranda and Curtis Mead on the Durham side and Gunnar Henderson and Jordan Westberg on the Norfolk side. So it's like a little mini futures game, an AL East futures game for 3 days, a futures weekend for 3 days in Durham. Yeah, so that would be really cool to see, because they're really, really different pitchers. I'm just recalling real quick a DL Hall memory. Like I've only seen him once. Well, I saw him at a futures game 1 year, but I saw him against Winston-Salem, and I had gone to see Luis Robert, and he was hitting like 400 or 450 or some absurd number at the time. And Hall just, you know, stuffed him out. Like he was just a bug on the ground. And at first I thought, I've just cursed Luis Robert. And come to see a few years later, no. This man is going to do that to a lot of really talented hitters. And he did it that day against, at that time, one of the best hitters in the minor leagues. But anyway, so that's our wrap up of the futures game. We touched a little bit on Hot Sheet, but I think you guys really wanted to know more about the futures game and Jeff's experience in Hollywood. He's come back. He's got cucumbers over his eyes. You know, he's had a spa day. He looks exfoliated and refreshed. He's calling everyone darling. He's changed on us, man. After being in Hollywood for all of like 3 or 4 days, and he's gone from Boston to LA. It's really striking. And I hope we can change it back. But anyway, that's the Hot Sheet podcast for this week. I'm Josh Bear. That's Jeff Parrott.
Ciao.
Ciao.